Radio Prague News.
President Zeman has opened a Czech-Chinese business forum in Shanghai. A criminal investigation of Andrej Babiš should be completed by the end of the year. And the famous Real Madrid have arrived for a game against Plzeň. The Czech President Miloš Zeman opened the Czech-Chinese business forum in Shanghai on Tuesday. In an opening address, he called on entrepreneurs to show courage, which he said was key to winning trade deals. Mr. Zeman highlighted a 20% rise in Czech exports to China and 20% growth in the number of Chinese tourists visiting the Czech Republic in the last year. It's the Czech president's fourth visit to China since 2014, reflecting his drive to boost ties with the world's most populous state. A criminal investigation of Prime Minister Andrej Babiš should be completed by the end of the year, Iroslas CZ reported, quoting the Prague prosecutor's office. The news site says that investigators now possess several types of evidence linked to the Čapí hnízdo farm complex. Mr. Babiš and members of his family are accused of wrongly acquiring 50 million crowns in EU subsidies for the project. There's an accusation that the company Farma Čapí hnízdo was deliberately hived off from Mr. Babiš's Agrofert conglomerate, which is now in a trust, to make it appear to be a small firm and therefore eligible for EU support. The Prime Minister denies impropriety and says the charges are politically motivated. The Ministry of Finance has cut its forecast for expansion of the Czech economy this year. While in July officials said gross domestic product appeared set to grow by 3.2%, they have now revised that figure to 3.0%. The Ministry of Finance says it regards Brexit, increased protectionism and Italy's economic problems as the greatest threats to the Czech economy. The Czech Pirate Party have won support from MPs from other groupings for a bill to allow people to grow marijuana for their own usage, Idnes.cz reported on Tuesday. The Pirates have the signatures of around 40 deputies for an amendment that would make it legal to cultivate and process up to 5 marijuana plants, the news site said. At present, possession of the equivalent of 5 marijuana plants or fewer is considered a misdemeanor under Czech law. Real Madrid, one of the world's most famous football teams, have arrived in the Czech Republic for a Champions League game against Viktoria Plzeň on Wednesday night. Real stars touched down in Prague on Tuesday afternoon before taking a team bus to Plzeň. Real beat the West Bohemians 2-1 in Madrid in a previous group game 2 weeks ago. The Spanish giants have won the Champions League for the last 3 seasons, a feat never before achieved, but have recently been through a turbulent period that included the sacking of their coach. The weather forecast should be mainly bright in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to 15 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are expected to remain in the teens in the following days, though rain is forecast at the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, while the Czech president's recent trip to China was all business, the new foreign minister didn't shy away from discussing human rights. Professors and students at Masaryk University in Brno have developed an interactive game where the goal is to distinguish between disinformation and trustworthy news. And we learn how rarely sighted wildcats, abundant in Czech forests a century ago, may once again be settling in the country. All that is coming up shortly, so please stay with us. On a 3-day business-oriented trip to China, Czech President Miloš Zeman personally promoted Czech products at the China International Import Expo Fair, slammed protectionist measures by the U.S., and called on entrepreneurs to show courage in winning new trade deals. Meanwhile, Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček opened a new chapter in Czech-Chinese dialogue, human rights issues. Daniela Lazareva reports.
Se Thank you.
President Zeman giving a rendition of his favourite sentimental journey on a Czech-made Petrov piano at the China Import Expo to an audience that included Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. Among the many Czech firms represented at the Czech Pavilion were the Czech President himself welcomed top officials, were the Moser Glassworks, the Tatra truck maker, the Lobkowitz beer brewery and Škoda Auto with its new Kodiaq Coupe, an SUV tailored exclusively for the Chinese market. While on past occasions the Czech Republic has mainly courted Chinese investments, this visit was meant to show that the country has much to offer in terms of exports. The president's entourage on what is his fourth visit to China included four ministers and around 60 business leaders eager to sign contracts on the spot. President Zeman, who has welcomed the restart in Czech-Chinese relations and nurtured bilateral ties by frequent visits and hosting Chinese business forums at Prague Castle, made clear his stand on the US-China trade war, saying he was against all forms of protectionism.
I have expressed solidarity with China on previous occasions, and I want to do so again in connection with this trade war against China.
Opening the Czech-Chinese Business Forum in Shanghai on Tuesday, President Zeman called on entrepreneurs to show courage, which he said was key to winning trade deals. Mr. Zeman highlighted a 20% rise in Czech exports to China and 20% growth in the number of Chinese tourists visiting the Czech Republic in the last year. The Czech head of state met for one-on-one talks with his Chinese counterpart, President Xi Jinping, focusing in particular on China's new Silk Road project, which is to reopen trade channels between China, the Middle East and Europe. Mr. Zeman said he would like to see at least one branch of the new Silk Road lead through the Czech Republic. The $900 billion US dollar scheme will involve huge investments into infrastructure in the regions through which it will pass. While in the wake of past visits, the Czech president has often come under fire at home for failing to bring up China's human rights record, this time the issue was brought up by the recently appointed Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček. Following talks with his Chinese counterpart Wang Yi, Mr. Petříček said that in future human rights would be part of the Czech-Chinese dialogue.
We agreed that a debate on human rights in both countries should be based on mutual respect and an open dialogue, and that we will devote time to these issues in the future.
Minister Petříček said that as a member of the UN Council for Human Rights, the Czech Republic would be carefully following the human rights situation in many countries and would be issuing recommendations without exception. Since taking office, the new foreign minister has been emphatic about the need for Czech foreign policy to be more vocal on the matter of human rights worldwide.
Daniela Lazareva reporting. Lecturers and students at Masaryk University in Brno have developed an interactive game focused on teaching players how to distinguish between disinformation and trustworthy news. The length of one game is especially tailored to fit into an hour of teaching at school, and its developers hope it will be implemented not only there, but also in orphanages and old age homes. Tom McEncrow has more.
It is 2028, and the Czech presidential race is on. However, one candidate has an evil master plan. He wants to cancel the summer holidays for students. To escape this terrifying prospect, players in the role of journalists are forced to use critical thinking and counter-checking to create accurate news and figure out which of the candidates is the villain. That is roughly the scenario of the newly developed Fakescape, a game focused on developing the skills necessary to distinguish between fake news and trustworthy sources. The man who was in charge of its development, Masaryk University lecturer Miloš Gregor, explains the details.
The backbone of the game, I would say, is built on the escape games, where we must puzzle out some logical tasks. However, we had to adapt this structure to the logic of the elections and fake news. And in the game, there are four tasks. Each of them is dedicated to a different way of manipulation. Students are forced to find out what manipulations are on the picture, articles, they use laws and so on, and they are forced to use Google to find out some information they probably can't know.
The game was developed largely by students after Mr. Gregor and his colleague issued a call for projects in the area of identifying disinformation. Yulia Vinklova is one of the students who were at the beginning of its development. She explains how the idea came to be.
We were thinking about some competition. The half of class would be disinformators and the other half would be journalists. And then we are like, okay, maybe this is not a good idea to teach kids how to make disinformation, but the journalist sounds good. So what we can do with journalists? And then we think about it, where most disinformation spread. And it was during the presidential elections and other elections. So we are thinking then we should put journalists in presidential elections. And then it just started going.
Asked about the interests in the game so far, Miloš Gregor said many requests have started coming in after the game was announced on Monday.
We've played the game on four high schools so far. There are another 10 schools already asking us to come to their town and play the game with their students. It was yesterday when one public library from Prague wrote us an email if it's possible to play it with the general public. So, yes, since we've published the information about the game yesterday, we have, 10, maybe 13 questions about the playing game.
Mr. Gregor says it is not the first project seeking to combat fake news that has come out of Masaryk University. He and his students are also responsible for another game, as well as a special book on the subject of fake news.
2 years ago, another our project called Zvolsi Info, which can be translated like Choose Your Information, was established. And this project is a project of our students as well. It's another group, and they are lecturing at the high schools about media literacy and critical thinking. They have about 150 schools lectures for 7,000 pupils so far. So it's quite a successful project. Another thing is that we published a book called The Best Book on Fake News this January. So I would say we try to be really active on this field because we find this topic of fake news crucial for our nowadays society.
Miloš Gregor of Masaryk University, ending that report by Tom McEncrow. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature, In Focus. The wildcat is a small carnivorous species that once inhabited the Czech Republic's forests before it was hunted down at the turn of the 18th and 19th centuries. However, images of the wildcat, recently captured by camera traps in some parts of the Czech Republic, suggest that the rare feline may once again be settling in the country. Ruth Frankova has the story.
More than a year ago, experts from the Czech Republic teamed up with colleagues from another 5 European countries to monitor and protect the endangered lynx population, setting up camera traps to track down the animal's movement. To their surprise, they captured not just lynxes, but also their smaller and even rarer relative, the wildcat. I met with Tereza Minárikova from the Czech NGO Alka Wildlife, which is responsible for the Three Links project here in the Czech Republic, to find out more about the wildcat sighting.
We camera trapped wildcat in the area of Český Les, and it was not exactly surprising because we had already got 2 pictures from southern part of Český Les and from the middle part of Český Les, but still it was a big success because it's a very rare and endangered species. And until recently, there were very little information about the wildcat distribution or sites of occurrence. It's a mystic species.
So what do we know about the population of wildcat here in the Czech Republic? Are there actually any wildcats settled on the territory of this country?
10 or 15 years ago, I would tell you that maybe this species is already extinct. After the Second World War, there were only few sightings of this species. But with the development of camera traps, more and more wildlife monitoring projects started to use camera traps and successfully captured wildcat in the area of Karpaty on the Czech and Slovakian border. And I think also a wildcat reproduction was confirmed there, because a den with kittens was found. This was a big success. And then it was confirmed in the area of Šumava region And from Cheskilas, this was the third area when our camera traps confirmed wildcat occurrence. This last picture, it was a male, which was several times camera trapped before on Bavarian side. And a DNA evidence was gained from hair trap. So it is sure it's a wildcat and it's sure it's a male. But we don't know whether the reproduction is in the area or no.
This is actually something I just wanted to ask you. How can you be so sure that it really is a wildcat? Because to me, of course, I'm not a biologist, they look very much alike.
This is really tricky because wildcat and some domestic cats really look alike. And it's very difficult to really tell. And moreover, they hybridize in some areas. We don't know about any hybrids in the Czech Republic, but in other European countries, this is a known phenomenon. Usually, the thing which we look at first is the tail, which should be very thick with black stripes. And there are also other signs on the body. But I would say you can never say for sure it's a wildcat unless you have a DNA evidence. So in most wildcat projects, this is always a goal, besides getting pictures, get also DNA evidence so that you can confirm it using like molecular tools.
So what exactly do we know about this particular specimen that was captured on the camera?
We know it's a male, and for the first time it was camera trapped in 2015 on the Bavarian side of Český les in the southern area. Then we had it in Čerchov area on our camera trap in 2017, and now it was found a little bit more north. But also one record comes from Bavaria, from the area which is 65 kilometers west from Český les. That means this animal is very movable. Its home range can be up to, I don't know, 100 kilometers or maybe even more.
And do we know if it's only crossing the Czech Republic or whether it has actually settled here on the territory of this country?
We think that this male is occupying the area permanently because it was camera trapped in 2015, 16, 17 and 18. So that means it stays for 3 years already. So it is a permanent stay in the area, but we don't have any information about the breeding.
And what kind of landscape do wild cats prefer?
They prefer mostly lowland forests, rocky areas, but there are some places when they can hide and rest and breed, and mostly broadleaf forests. But as I said, we have very little information about the species from really wild, so maybe we will be surprised. These pictures which we have come from broadleaf forests, but also from coniferous forests. And one dislocation is quite like low, but one is quite high on the mountain. So it's not a typical habitat for wildcat.
And do we know what's the role of the wildcat in the ecosystem?
Well, it's a predator. It preys on small mammals in the forest. So that's its main role. Probably it's a regulator of small mammals. But as I said, we know very little.
What drove the wildcats to the brink of extinction?
I think that it was probably overhunting and definitely human impact. Because as I said, it said that the typical habitat of wildcat are these lowland forests, broadleaf forests, which are usually close to villages and towns and are frequently used by people. They need like larger areas which are connected together. But now we are building new railways and roads and new villages and the habitat fragmentates into smaller patches. And for some animals, it can be just too much disturbance. So they try to search for new, bigger areas.
So would you say that this fragmentation is the biggest threat to this particular species today?
This fragmentation is a biggest threat to many species. Definitely in case of carnivores, they have large home ranges, they travel large distances, and this habitat fragmentation has a very strong negative impact on them. Because when they cannot migrate, they cannot meet a mate and reproduce.
As we said at the beginning, you captured the wildcat while monitoring the lynx population in the Czech Republic within the Three Lynx Project. And the project was launched about a year ago. What have you discovered so far?
Well, in this 1 year, we have mapped the distribution area of the Bohemian, Bavarian, Austrian lynx population. And just now we have started to count lynxes. So that means we were sorting the photos of lynxes, and according to their spots or their coloring, we can identify them individually. But it's a lot of work because we've got hundreds of lynx pictures. That means we have sorted them on the like national levels, and now we are about to have a workshop when we will do a big cross comparison of Czech, Austrian and Bavarian lynx. So we are about to start the counting now. But my personal guess is that we will probably have better results than in the years 2013 and 2014, which was the last time when we did the population census. At that time, we said the whole population is about 60 to 80 independent animals.
Why do you think this is so? Is this a good sign that nature here in the Czech Republic is improving?
We have to first think about whether it is a real improvement or if it is only an effect of monitoring effort. Because the Tree Link project is the first really large-scale project that covers all area of lynx distribution in the Czech Republic, Austria and Bavaria. It's 14,000 square kilometers. And if we get more data, more animals from such a large area, it doesn't mean that the population increased. It maybe only means that we have like a better detectability. My personal opinion is that there is a slight improvement, but not so big that it would mean that the population is not endangered anymore. It's still very small.
And finally, apart from the wild cat and lynxes, have your cameras captured any other surprising visitors?
We've got wolf, which was also surprising. Our colleagues from Český les area again got some of the first wolf pictures from this area. And my organization, Alka Wildlife, camera trapped wolf near Netolice, which was very surprising. No one knew about the wolf occurrence in this area, but it was probably a single animal migrating through this region. And we have camera trapped wolf in Novohradské hory. This is a mountainous area on the Czech-Austrian border, and here it is probably a wolf pack.
Tereza Minaríková from Alka Wildlife, ending that edition of In Focus with Ruth Frankova. And that also brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's content, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz, or you can reach us via Facebook or Twitter. We'd be glad to hear from you. I'm Brian Kennedy saying thanks for listening and goodbye for now.